Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and excited to be here. Before we start the sermon, there's always a lot of things that God's doing. So when we highlight a couple of people, I always feel this pressure of, oh man, but what about everybody else we're not highlighting? At the same time, I would love for us to just say, let's celebrate a couple of amazing things that God's done. And I know there's more, and we can keep telling more, you know? So it's not just me with the microphone that gets to tell the things that God does. But two amazing things I heard about today. One was EJ has got a year of sobriety. So where did EJ? And Nick, right here in the front row, has got 4 years of sobriety today. Yeah. And my guess is if you ask around, you'll hear a lot of different details, but you could hear a lot of stories about how has Jesus set you free. Because there's a lot of ways Jesus sets people free in this room. So we highlight a couple of them. There's EJ back there. I just didn't see him. Okay, so we highlight people, but the reality is there's way more stories than we can highlight. So let's pray, and we're going to keep going with things. Jesus, we want to be set free by you in this room today. Because even though you've broken a lot of chains, I know I still need your help, and I know we still need your help. So Jesus, please set us free. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So if you'll stick with me for a second, I want to compare something to how a lot of us probably feel. We'll see if I can do this with one hand. But a lot of us maybe feel like we're just going through life and we're just mopping up problems and mopping up more problems and mopping up more problems and mopping up more problems. And before we get to this end, like that end's dirty again, right? And so we just like try harder and we go faster. And somehow, even though we're going faster, things seem dirtier, right? How many of you feel like your life is just a series of mopping up problems, right? That's a lot of hands, right? So freedom's pretty elusive, though, right? Freedom is pretty hard to come by. Sometimes, if you're mopping up enough problems and you're frustrated at the situation having so many problems or the other people in your life causing so many problems, you think, you have this thought in your head of, man, I could be free if I just, like, move out. If I just, like, walk away from, like, all this stuff and, like, just get off of this stage and just, like, get to a new place, right? But if you've ever had this experience of moving out somewhere, I'm sure most of us have. We move out of an apartment or we move out of a house or wherever. And maybe if you're moving out of a cell, maybe you didn't feel this way. I don't know. You guys could catch me up on that. But I've moved out of places before, and you take all your posters or whatever off the wall. You take all your stuff off the floor, if you're like me, because I'm pretty messy. And you got a room that looks like this, if we go to this slide, right? You got this room that's, like, totally empty. And right as you're about to, like, turn in your keys or whatever, you have this moment of reflection that's kind of haunting, I think. This pain of, man, I've been here for years, and it looks like I was never here. It was like haunting feeling of like being erased. How many of you have felt like that before at some point when you're moving out? Quite a few of us, right? So I think what that fear is touching on is even though moving out is this moment where it feels free of responsibilities in a way, we have this hunger for permanence as well. We have this hunger to like make a mark or to have something last. And when we move out of a place and we realize all of those life experiences, that now a stranger is going to live in that same spot and they'll have no knowledge of us, it kind of feels strange, right? If you let your mind go, you can realize, like, it's not just your apartment. Like, what was on the property where you live 100 years ago, whatever. I mean, it's easy to see, like, wow, it's hard to leave a mark or to have permanence. So these, like, feelings inside of us, like we got so many problems and we just want to break free of them. And like, how do we have something that lasts? And it feels like we can't even get either one of them, much less both of them, right? Well, the reason I think we struggle so much on this idea is I think we live out some lies about freedom. So what are some of the lies we live out about freedom? Crab. Don't have my notes. We're just going to free ride. Maybe. Hang on just a second. Here they are. Okay. So here's two things I want to tell you about freedom that we buy into, even though we know it's not right. Because we've experienced for ourselves that that's not true, but we keep living into it. One of the things we think about freedom is freedom means indulgence, right? I could tell you a famous story from my family, of my brother when he's a little kid, my older brother. My aunt gave him as much ice cream as he wanted. He kept asking for more, and she just kept giving him more. And you know where that story went, right? And all of us, myself included, we've done that same thing. Something felt good, and so we just decided in our mind, I want more, and we stopped paying attention when it didn't feel as good, or we just doubled down and tried to get more of it or whatever. And even though we weren't getting as much out of it, we just made ourselves sick, right? And whether it was over ice cream or meth or something like in between, there's a lot in between, right? But it's the same principle. It's the same principle that if you just go after what feels good, you'll hurt yourself. It's not freedom. It becomes slavery, right? We have all learned that lesson. And yet pay attention to yourself when you get a little bit of power. You know, a little bit of power over your schedule, a little bit of power over what you're going to eat, a little bit of power over whatever in your life where you can move or shake things. And we opt for indulgence so much of like, oh, that's it. I got a little freedom and I can experience it by indulging in something. Because even though my brother ate all that ice cream, doesn't mean that lesson just like stuck in just because he puked his guts out, right? It doesn't stick with us, right? We believe that lie about freedom. Freedom is indulging. Or here's this other lie. This one is painful, to me at least, you know. We have this lie that the reason we don't have the character that we want is because of the external situation. And what do I mean by that? There was a time, you know, it's easy for me to tell myself, oh, I'm being impatient with my 5-year-old twins. I'm being impatient because I have so much pressure on me, or I'm so busy, or this day is so jam-packed. And God shook me up one day when I had no responsibilities. I had taken a nap. I had nothing to do for Maywood, and I was still, like, super impatient with my twins. And there was just this, like, click. Like, you can't blame Maywood for being an impatient dad. Because it's not true. Like, you are an impatient dad. And you just had this convenient excuse. Because here's the thing, like, the thing that produces character, when I think of character, I think of things like the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. If you don't have those things in your life, it's not because of the bad boss or the stress about money or the stress about anything else. Because if your life was easier, you wouldn't have a better character. Like, that's not the ticket to a better character, right? So here's the idea I had on this to help you remember it. If you had a roof with a bunch of leaks in it and it was sunny outside like today, the house would be dry, right? It doesn't mean it's a good roof. The next time it rains, it's going to leak, right? Like, that's not a place you want to live just because it happens to be a sunny day. You shouldn't move all your furniture into there. And some of us think, like, if it were just a sunny day, I wouldn't have so many leaks in my life, right? If it was just this, if it was just that, the house has the problem, right? It's going to rain. You're going to go through hard things in life. If you're not patient right now, if you don't have self-control right now, if you aren't loving like you want to be, the externals aren't going to change and give you that. Quit attacking me, Brian says. Well, here's where I get all this stuff. It's not from watching Brian. It's from living my life. There's a whole lot of weaknesses there, right? You know? So here's the good thing, though. It feels like we need a miracle, right? It feels like, man, okay, so we can't like mop our way out of this mess, and we can't just like run away from our problems. So when you need a miracle, who do you turn to, right? We don't call Ghostbusters, right? We look to Jesus, right? So John chapter 8, if you guys want to turn there, verse 31 through 36. Now, we used to put the verses up here on screen. I'm pushing real heavy for you guys to get actual physical Bibles in front of you, if you can. They're in the pew. Here's the reason. It's like God's word is really powerful, and it's worth our focus. And you're never going to have an easier time in a given week to open your Bible than at church when I'm talking to you about it, right? So let's start here, because my hope is we're going to open our Bible throughout the week, right? But let's start it right here. Okay, so John chapter 8. If you need to find the book of John, look in the table of contents right at the beginning of the Bible. It'll give you a page number, and then the big numbers are chapters. So you look for big number 8, and then you look for a little number 31. So if you remember last week, we talked about this undivided devotion to Jesus, and that some people had started to believe in Jesus. Believe is a big word in the Gospel of John. So verse 31, it says, to the Jews who had believed him, so the Jews that were listening to Jesus, putting some trust in what Jesus was saying, and maybe if you're here today, maybe you prayed that prayer that Daniel just gave, and you're at this spot today where you're like, I'm putting some action into this. I'm putting some trust into Jesus. That's why I'm here in a pew right now. Well, here you go. Jesus is talking to us. It's gonna be rough. So strap it. So he says, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. See, a lot of people tell themselves things, just like I told myself about why do I lack patience. We tell ourselves stories, but they're not always true. Jesus is saying, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus, if you flip ahead to chapter 14, Jesus is going to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here he's saying, the truth will set you free. These folks who believed in him at some capacity, but they still have some pride in themselves. And unless you are in a really vulnerable spot in life, unless you've had one of the worst weeks you've ever had, or you're an incredibly humble person, we're probably in the same boat right now. At our best, we got some belief in Jesus, but we also got some pride. We got some stuff that we think are good on our own. We need Jesus' help, but not all the way. Like, we got a few things figured out. That's how these people were. They answered Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? So it's a rough thing to say to Jesus, right? Like, I don't really need your help for like that. I don't need that much of you. It sounds rough until you look, if you look at your own life, you'll see that we say this sort of stuff to Jesus all the time. Like, Jesus, would you please help me get over cigarettes? I don't want your advice about my girlfriend. Jesus, will you help me in this way? Like, I don't want you in that way, right? Jesus, I really want to feel better. I don't want to raise my arms right now when I'm singing. Like, that would be strange, right? There's some sort of limit of like, I got some sort of pride and I'm only willing to go that far. Jesus is great at sniffing out where's the pride that's holding you back. If you stick with him long enough, he will pinpoint exactly, here's your pride, Jake, and let's see what you're going to do with it. He does it to me a lot. And my guess is he does it to all of us if we stick close to him, right? If we try to. So here's another ironic thing real quick just about the Jewish people. They were in an occupied country. Like, the Roman government had like beat their army and was taxing them and doing whatever it wanted to them. And still they have the audacity to say, like, we're not anybody's slaves. I mean, yeah, before I go into our temple, I have to give a tax to this government I don't like. But we're not, nobody's the boss of me, right? I mean, it's just like, how silly are they being? And I wish we could stand in judgment on it, though, right? I wish we were so much better. But most of the time when I look at my own life and I look at my pride, I realize, like, man, that's a silly thing that I'm prideful about. I don't really have any real ground to stand on. So how then can you say we shall be free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, so this is Jesus' way of saying, listen up. Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We love to tell ourselves, oh, I got this little problem on the side, this thing that nobody knows about, but if I really wanted to fix it, I could. And I just do it when I'm bored, or I just, when I get real upset, or whatever. Like, we tell ourselves that we're in control. But this is saying, if you're doing anything that Jesus has told you not to do, then you're a slave to that thing. Like, that thing owns you. And if you don't believe that it owns you, try to stop doing it. Because that's how you know the hold something has on you. Right? You don't know how much of a hold something has on you until you say, like, I'm not doing it anymore at all. When you say, like, I'm not doing it anymore at all, you will find out, like, what sort of hold that thing has on you. And it's a good experience. Even if you fail, it's good to see, like, oh, that's some truth. Right? First step of truth maybe is just realizing that you are enslaved to something, okay, that you need somebody else's help. Verse 35, here we get to that idea of that apartment that's empty. He says, now a slave has no permanent place in the family. Why do we have this haunting thing that we run into every once in a while if I don't have any permanence? So that's our true state. Like, without being set free by somebody else, we don't have any permanence. We will be forgotten and we won't last. And that's why every once in a while we like wake up to that fact and it doesn't feel good. And we cover it up. He says, a slave has no permanent place in the family. Here's the hope, though. He says, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son, and this one in the NIV, it capitalizes it, because this is talking about Jesus, the one who created everything. So it capitalizes it. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So Jesus offers us a freedom that also comes with permanence. We thought we kind of had to choose between one or the other. Jesus says, here's the way to both of them. But it costs us something that we don't want to give up, right? It costs us our pride. First, I want to talk about this freedom real quick. We'll go to the slide. Picture that same empty apartment, but now go to this next slide here with the two guys. Yeah. You got this dad, and maybe there's his son. I don't know the details here, but it works, right? We're going to call it dad and son, right? I love the expression on this little baby's face. And I also love the truth. So here's the problem about human relationships that we've experienced. If you've known somebody for years, you've hurt each other. I mean, if you've gotten close, at least. Like, if you haven't hurt each other, you're not very close. Like, that's the sad reality of humanity. But with little babies, you have this hope still. Like, maybe there's literally nothing between this dad and this baby, right? Maybe even not. It's hard not to disappoint babies, too. But you see the smile between both of them, the eyes locked. It feels like there's nothing between them, right? And even if the room has totally bare walls, you feel like they could walk out of there with something that lasts, right? Because the relationship is different than the drywall. I remember my youth pastor, Joey Butler, always telling me as we grew up, that the only thing that we can impact that lasts forever is relationships. Like, the people we know have eternal souls. God is eternal. But whether you build something out of granite or out of sand, it's not going to last. Your health is not going to last. Everything around you is not going to last except for the relationships you have with other people, the relationship you have with Jesus. Like, those last. So Jesus says, I'm going to set you free, and then you'll really be free. You have a freedom that lasts. So the way that we get through this is we hold, he said, to Jesus' teachings. Like, if we really believe in Jesus, he says, you'll hold to my teachings, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then he defines it. He says, the Son's going to set you free indeed. So if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus, like, that's the first step, right? The first step is to say, like, Jesus, I can't make it on my own. Jesus, help me. And we talk about that a lot, right? Accepting Jesus as your Savior. That's what that means. Of Jesus, I need saving. If you don't think you need saving, then you're not ready for a relationship with Jesus. Right? That's what holds people up sometimes. They think they can make it on their own. Until you let go of, I can do it on my own, you're not ready for Jesus. But we normally put that phrase together. Lord and Savior is what we say. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Lord means simply like the person you obey, the one you follow, right? So when you accept Jesus as this two-part side to it, you know, just like a quarter has a heads and a tails, the heads and the tails of accepting Jesus is you say, I need your help. And you say, I'm going to do it your way. Now, we need so much help, we can't even do it Jesus' way without his help, right? And we keep failing at it. But at least we got to have that intention of, I'm going to try to hold on to what Jesus said. I'm going to try to do what he said. So I got to wrap this up. We got about 5 minutes. I want to take you guys somewhere that's a very powerful place, a very powerful application. There's a lot of things you could do to obey Jesus. Brian English the other day looked up this list of what are all the commands that Jesus gave us, and it's pages, right? I've picked out one command from the Bible because I feel like this one has a great ability to do what this passage is about showing us the truth and setting us free. And in my experience at Maywood, most of us do not do this. So I think we have a lot of room for growth, right, if we look at it positively, right? So what are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about a verse in James. So if we go to that next slide, James 5:16. And you can turn there if you want to. We're going to go somewhat quickly here. But James 5:16 gives this idea, if any of us have sinned, that we should confess one to another. Oh, hang on. Slow down, Jason, for me. And pray for each other so that we can be healed. Now, I didn't quote that perfectly, so you may want to look that up. But that's the idea of it. So we all maybe have heard this idea of you can go to Jesus yourself and you can pray yourself straight to Jesus and be forgiven, right? You don't need a priest. You don't need me. You don't need anybody else. You can go straight to Jesus yourself and say, please forgive me, and he will. But have you ever messed something up and then you said, Jesus, please forgive me, and you still didn't feel very good, and you still felt like you were in a mess? Because the passage in James, it doesn't promise that we'll be forgiven, because Jesus gives us forgiveness as soon as we ask for it. It promises us that if we'll confess to each other and pray for each other, we'll be healed. There's this idea that you're wounded when you sin, that you've poured some sort of poison into yourself, and that you need help getting out of that. You have some sort of limp, right? And you need to be healed of it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this great book, Life Together, and he gives basically a whole chapter of this short book to confessing to each other. And one of the things he talks about in it is he says, we're so scared to go to a Christian brother or sister and say, this is what I did wrong. And he's like, but we'll go to God easily and say it. And he's like, maybe the reason we're so afraid to tell a Christian brother or sister, but we act not afraid to tell God, who's never sinned and is totally holy and righteous and is this like consuming fire, is because we're not really going to God. We're just confessing to ourselves. We're just talking to ourselves and saying like, okay, now I'm okay. Because if we're really going to Jesus, it's kind of intimidating to go to Jesus and be like, here's everything I did. It shouldn't be. But it also shouldn't be to go to our brother or sister, right? Because they're a sinner too. So here's the thing that we pass through, that Bonhoeffer taught me, is we pass through to really facing that Jesus forgives us when we confess to another Christian. Because when that Christian looks us in the eye and says, Jesus forgives you, Jake, because you sinned in this or whatever specific way I mentioned, it's different. It feels different than when I'm just in my bedroom on my knees praying. It feels different to look someone else in the face and have them tell me, Jesus forgives me. It heals something inside of me. It does exactly what this verse says. So when we think about holding to the teachings of Jesus, I don't think there's a command in the Bible that we have to confess to other people. But there's this promise that if we'll confess to other Christians, we can be prayed for, we can be healed. And if we're holding to the teachings of Jesus, it's going to set us free. If we stop asking, what do I have to do? And start just saying, like, what does Jesus want me to do? What's the best? So I'm going to teach you really quick how to do this very important thing. Now, here's the deal. In Sunday school, somebody was talking about this. They confessed to a group of Christians a sin, and then later got gossiped about by those Christians. And that happened like 8 years ago, and it's still hurtful. So I'm teaching you something where we could hurt each other, right? If I gave you all a bunch of power tools, you could go out and hurt each other with them, right? But the reality is, like, the world needs a lot of fixing. And, like, if we're going to be scared of the power tools, like, we're not going to do what we need to do, right? So Jesus, in John chapter 20, he says, he gives this commissioning to his disciples, and then he gives them the Holy Spirit, and then he tells them, if you forgive anybody their sins, they're forgiven. It's this, like, huge statement that we typically ignore because we're scared of it. He is giving us authority in his name with his Holy Spirit's help to forgive people. It's just like wild, big promise. So, and if you're trying to look that up, you may want to write some of this in your notes. It's John chapter 20, verses 21 to 23. So here we go. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. That's the first half of the verse. So here's what you should do. First person confesses specific sin. Do not give a list about how you were late for work and something your kid threw up on your lap and all this. You know, don't give a list of 17 excuses and then like, so I hate that the day worked out that way. That's how most people confess. It's like a whole bunch of excuses and then like a something went bad. That's not a confession. A confession is I lied. A confession is I lost self-control and I said something I shouldn't have that was hurtful. Confession is, like, I looked at that woman and I thought something I shouldn't have thought. Or I went to that person and I did something I shouldn't have done, right? Confession is, you say specifically, what did you do that was sinful? You don't have to, don't give all the excuses. Just own up to, this is what I did that was wrong. It could be one sentence, but it's very powerful to say out loud to another believer, to say, Connor, this is what I did this week that hurt somebody else, right? It's very powerful to do that, right? I would recommend doing same gender would be a piece of advice of just, you don't want to be falling in love with each other as you're confessing. I'm just going to throw that out. So confess specific sin. What does the next person do? It's kind of intimidating, right? Here's what the next person does. Write down this verse. It's 1 John 1:9. Brian English quoted it from memory in Sunday school class. Here's what it says. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You read that to them, you write it down and put it in your pocket, you look it up on your phone, whatever you have to do, but you tell them that verse, and then you look them right in the eye, and you say, Connor, Jesus has forgiven you for being rude to your mom. Or not that you would ever do that, right? Ever, right? But I'm just giving you a hard time putting Connor out on the spot. Totally joking, man. So here's the thing, though, right? Like, you tell them in Jesus' name they're forgiven. So powerful. Earlier this week, I had to confess a sin to a Christian brother, right? And I didn't like doing it. I didn't like being in that spot, right? But I knew I'd done something that was totally my fault. I'd had somebody I really respect tell me, Jake, you have a plank in your eye on this. And then I like took that in because it really hurt, because it was true. A lot of times stuff that's true can hurt. And I went and read the Bible. Like, I just didn't respond. I just was like, okay, I'm going to go read because I hope that's not true. The thing I read in the Bible, first few verses, is like, yep, you definitely have a plank in your own eye. So I went to somebody and confessed. Here's what I'll tell you is when we do the next right thing with Jesus, even if we've messed stuff up, if you will turn it around and just do the next thing he tells you to do, he'll start working good stuff. I had that Maywood man tell me, Jake, this is really good for me to hear because I put you up on too much of a pedestal. And like, this is just good. I'm like, I should only do that with Jesus. And like, I've lived through some pastors doing some terrible stuff. And I'll just tell you, like, I'm like, no pastor, including myself, is like Jesus, right? And so, like, all of us need to know that, right? And it's good. Like, I really appreciate you guys and, like, the remembering the 11 years. Like, I didn't even remember that today was the anniversary of that. And I know I have a lot of love from you guys and a lot of respect, and I also know, like, I'm not fully worthy of all of it, right? Like, not that there's some scandal. I'm not, like, committing adultery with some lady or something, you know, right? There's no scandal here, and yet at the same time, like, we all need forgiveness, and not just in the distant past, like this week, right? Like, I need it. So here's the last thing I want to tell you about this mop. Here's the thing Jesus showed me about the mop thing. Go to this last slide. Here's why when I'm in a hurry, the mopping is even harder. It's because, like, that's what my feet look like, right? That's how I felt this week. Like, it's pretty stupid to be mopping a floor if you got muddy shoes on. And it seems like if anybody, and here's the deal. If you probably have something to confess, if you've noticed that when you're in a hurry, there's more messes. Right? Because if somebody's mopping with muddy shoes on and they start moving faster, there's more of a mess. And I know for me, like, when I'm in a hurry, I'm a worse parent, I'm a worse everything, right? Well, it's because there's a bunch of stuff in me that's not perfect yet, right? Not that we ever need to be in a hurry, but it's just a good symptom of, like, if you notice that, that, like, the messes grow the more you rush around, the more you try to fix stuff. So what do we do if we got these muddy feet? We go to Jesus and we say, Jesus, I need your truth to set me free. It doesn't feel good to see the truth about yourself when something needs to change. It hurts. But that's the way to freedom. Jesus offers us a permanent place in his family, a permanent place of freedom, if we will face the truth with him. Let's pray. Jesus, I know a lot of us have got muddy feet. I know we've got leaky roofs. I know there's just, we all have problems, Jesus. And I pray this week you give us the courage to tell another Christian a way that we have sinned. And I pray you'd give us the authority in your name to forgive in your name other people who come and confess to us. Jesus, I pray you'd give us wisdom in who to talk to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.